You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Sign Geno Smith to a record-setting deal.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis, and I come to you in a studio filled with some heroes, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler, and a very special guest. I believe this is her third time on our program, and we're very happy to have her, the great Mina Kimes. What's up, Mina?
Hi. I was trying to remember when my last appearance took place. It was definitely pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm.
In person. You did do some pandemic shows. I remember you did one with Colleen and Claybon one week.
And there was one with the three of us.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Inner Monologues was a fun
Inner
one.
Inner Monologues. It's a very strange
episode. In person, you made an impression that first time.
Well, speaking of being in person, I have seen Greg, but I haven't seen you two in person. For the listeners who don't have the visual, you guys look tan. Mm. You all look like you have been vacationing, like in the Mykonos or however you say it, or something.
I have attempted to put sunscreen on daily, and it does not seem to affect what's happening.
Tan. I didn't say burned.
I feel burned. Right.
You
I
look
feel
great.
Hot all the time. I don't
you
mean hot
rested.
To try. I mean hot,
he
like,
fell
internally
asleep
hot.
At a Hollywood hotel pool for like 6 hours.
And he still has that
2 months ago.
Yeah. It legit
that
burned
was
my calves.
And
really?
I'm continuing my transition to become my father, which is I'm working outside and working up a lather in the sun, stupidly not wearing a hat or any. It just
freckly. I get those
that's
freckles.
The,
I get those
the
too.
Irish in me coming out. Anyway, Mina, you know Mina Kimes. Mina's a star. NFL on ESPN. She's all over the place. Mina Kimes show. And what a treat this is for football fans, really. Let's be honest. The world over. To have a single podcast with two of the top 10 analysts in pro football, well, four really, according to the London-based prestige publication, The Guardian.
Not on the Sessy list. Made it, Sessler. I mean, how about that guy? Who is that guy?
Mina,
he's
number
top
two.
Top 10 football insider.
Damn right he is, Dan Le Batard. Mina, number two, ATN, number seven. And, you know, not since Mina, the Stephen Urkel showed up on Full House in 91. Has there been a crossover episode with this much juice, this much appeal?
So I'm Urkel?
Well, or you could be that or Stephanie Tanner. I mean, it's your choice. Urkel feels like the move. Breakout star. Kind of you've become bigger than the ESPN NFL operation. You're such a star there. Like Urkel overshadowed all the Winslows.
Yeah,
I like that.
No, I liked Urkel is my podcast Mina. Stefan is television Mina.
Ooh, oh, I like that.
Little Stefan binary.
Urkel, sure. For yeah. People that get those references.
I hope so.
And by the way, I know you've been a regular visitor on the Dan Le Batard show with Stu Gotts. Do you want to... Some people call me the peacemaker on this show. I smooth things over when necessary, Greg and whoever he's feuding with any given month. You heard Stu Gotts there, of course.
Maybe you should hear it again.
I think it deserves another.
A little context. Yeah. They were making fun of Mark for some reason.
Well, for me.
Sessy made it. Sessler. I mean, how about that guy? Who is that guy?
He's a top 10 football insider.
I don't think we needed the context. I think it's all laid out. But Mina, do you want to play peacemaker in this scenario?
Okay. I don't know why he singled you out, to be honest, out of the group. Personally,
I want to think it's random, but part of me thinks maybe not.
Targeted.
Knowing Stu Goss, and I know him pretty well, I think it's your name. He probably just thought Sessy or whatever. What did he say?
Sessy.
He called him Sessy.
And that is 1,000% that he likes. He would just zero it in on your name. He saw the nickname potential. You guys have names that are not easily mocked in the same way. I think that's probably it.
That's
I wouldn't take
that's,
it personally.
No, that's a logical, generous way to look at it, because there's a lot of people on the list. Now, I guess it could have just been any of the three of us, but he chose, you know, one of us as
Let's not twist
person.
The knife, Greg. We've been down this road. But J.B. Long, when we were at Rams camp, was very complimentary of you, and I feel like that kind of made it even Steven in a lot of ways.
I think he was attempting to curry favor, but he already had my favor, so I appreciated it.
All right, Mina.
Another Rams employee here doing the preseason games this year with Andrew Whitworth.
Yes,
that's
very
nice.
Exciting. Yes. I wanted to I went to Rams camp, I want to say, a week ago, actually, from today, and Siciliano was there, one of the Andrews, but Big Andrew – sorry, I'm not – trying to refrain from calling them Big and Little Andrew, but Big Andrew.
Well, one is big.
Was, I think he's enormous. I wanted to do a group photo where I like cut his head off. I had like a whole humorous, but he didn't make it that day. Wasn't able to do it.
To circle back around on that.
And I was sick of it.
But yeah, so check out also Mina on Rams preseason telecast. She's all over the place. Today's show, fun. Greggy, you're excited because we're going to talk some over-unders on the 2022 season. We're going to do it with a little twist, a little pizzazz, do a draft style. So we're all four of us are going to take turns picking over-unders that we're comfortable with going one way or the other, obviously. And then we'll track these. These are things we'll track and circle back to later in the season. But before that, let us hit the news.
Thank you, everybody. It's great to see you today. And I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Roger Goodell. What is the background there, Mark?
Well, that is the that's Rob Walton, the new Broncos owner, and that was his introductory, greeting to the fans in the world, and he utterly botched the name of the commissioner.
That's an amazing
flex.
Did
he botch it, though?
Yes, that's a power move.
He's worth $70 billion,
Right, he is worth something like three times as much as any previous NFL owner, and that wasn't like, oh, I'm nervous speaking in front of people and said his name wrong. He said it multiple times. He just doesn't know the man. He does not know Roger Goodell.
Also, let's understand the hierarchy of our league. He's Rog's boss.
That's true.
So I remember we had a really bad boss a long time ago in the newsroom who's no longer with us. Well, he's still on the planet, but I don't know where he is anymore. Good luck to him, whatever he's doing. It was his first day, and he was very much, laying. He was making it clear in the newsroom with this energy that he was the boss, and he was looking to fire people, and he was looking to clean up the ship and make it his own. And I was like, oh, geez. We were very young. Copy editors.
A bellowing voice intentionally.
And I was like, oh, I better go up to this guy and introduce myself, and play the game. Corpo game, So I go up to him. I say, hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm Dan. And he just looks at me and he goes, do you have a last name? I was like, oh, God, this is going to be horrible. Well, and it was.
That invites, I think, the obvious question, which is, did Roger Goodell correct him? Because, so someone whose name has been mispronounced since the day I, entered this earth, until recently, maybe until adulthood, when adults would say my name, teachers, referees, authority figures would say my name wrong, I would just let it slide.
What did you get? What were the...
Oh, my God.
Kymes?
No, my first name.
Oh.
Both, really.
Mina?
I got some Kymes. Mina is a really common one.
Man,
Mina.
You've not dealt with not, I mean, the person saying Mina has not dealt with a lot of our language, if that's what they're coming out with. But.
Nina, even though it's right there. But I wouldn't, being the beta that I am, would never correct them.
Oh, Goodell's not correcting him. Not even privately. That's too embarrassing.
I mean, to Rob Walton, apparently, Goodell is just an underling, so it would be hazardous to correct him.
Anyway, a new owner enters the NFL. Let's get to the news, starting with bad news around my Jets. Why can't the Jets get through in August without something awful happening? I don't know what that's all about, but Mekhi Becton, the former first-round pick who missed most of last year with a knee injury, the hope was he was going to kick over to the right side of the line and get things back on track. Well, that's not going to happen because he suffered a fractured right kneecap during Monday's practice, and the injury, according to Rap Sheet, is one that will likely end his season. Robert Saleh talking about Becton, who's obviously been scrutinized and criticized for work ethic and other issues. Saleh came to his defense on
with social media in this world, we dehumanize these athletes in the worst way imaginable. And Mekhi has walked in this building and he has taken every single punch you can get from every which way. And he shows up and he works his tail off and he grinds every single day. He shows up to camp and he's fighting to get himself back in shape. He's got videos of him vomiting and people are throwing shade and he's limping and he's doing all those different things. And he's fighting for his family, for himself, for his teammates, for this organization, for this fan base. And he's doing everything. And then everybody wants to drop him like a wet rag. That ain't the case.
There's a lot of frustration, Mina, around Becton amongst Jets fans because he was so tantalizing when he was on the field as a rookie. And now you wonder what the future holds. Saleh said that we love Mekhi. His ride is not over, but this is another huge setback.
A huge setback for him personally and obviously the organization, given that he was such a high draft pick. But I would venture to say for Jets fans, if Dwayne Brown steps in as left tackle, that seems to be, he seems to be the prohibitive favorite. He's there. I don't think it's that much of a downgrade for Zach Wilson this year. If you have Dwayne Brown manning the left side, George Fant, who's been rejuvenated in New York, on the right side, that's not a bad tackle combo. I see Jets fans panicking about this season. And, oh, this is going to set back Zach Wilson. And I don't think it's that bad if Brown plays. He played at a pretty high level last year and it's been good for a long time.
They're just getting those former Seahawks. I mean, no, their offensive line is a strength. The Dwayne Brown thing is a little strange to me. Joe Douglas was quoted saying on Tuesday that it's like the wheels are in motion. I mean, I've never seen a free agent spend like a scrimmage on the sidelines before signing and then had like a 2-day sit down. My only guess could be that Dwayne Brown doesn't want to sign until the official training camp portion of training camp is over, which is now, basically. It's today, Wednesday. Training camps are generally ending around the league, and that he's going to join the team. He just didn't want to like do it too far in front of the season, or else none of this really makes sense. But yeah, if you have Dwayne Brown, that's probably about the median expectation or better of what you could have possibly expected from Becton, except he's a lot more reliable. You actually expect him to play.
I think if you're a Jets fan, because I think you're right. If Dwayne Brown signs and he's adequate, you're good. But they're reading things like this from The Athletic. It said, after a completion to Denzel Mims, Wilson was sacked on 4 consecutive dropbacks. On a few of them, so many pass rushers got to Wilson that it would be unfair to even credit one player. I just feel it's like it. All the wreckage of August for Jets fans has been long. It's been storied. And can you get out of this with an adequate offensive line? If so, that would be a major victory for the Jets.
I think the Jets could have potentially a good offensive line. That was a bad practice. There's been plenty of positives. It's been much better than past August in terms of practice reports. Remember the green and white scrimmage a year or two ago when they got shut out by like the second team defense? Like, there have been positives. And I think
nobody remembers that except right. for you and other Jets fans.
We remember.
Iconic moment.
But I will
various
say.
Snoopy Bowls, though. You could
there are Snoopy Bowl losses. Yeah. This is, for Jets fans that are even more optimistic than me, this could be seen as a crushing loss because you're imagining the version of Becton that was going to play this year was the guy that flashed in 2020. You're like, oh, he was going to be that guy. But there were a lot of bad vibes around Becton, obviously, going into the season and last year. So, yes, I'm with you, Mina. This could be something they can recover from, but obviously disappointing.
But the team seems to have come around and appreciate Mekhi's effort over the past 40 days.
Sounds like he busted his ass to get back into shape.
We seem motivated. Remember
they're trying
t-shirt?
To be nice,
you know?
Humans to them. Then the financial aspect's going to come up quickly on them next year because they'll have to.
They won't pick up that.
They'll decline his fifth-year option. And it might partly be because their defensive line is so good. That's the number one reason I'm, you know, excited about the Jets is, like, they're so deep up front. Maybe that's why they're crushing the offensive line.
Are they
going to
be in your
line.
Over-under draft? Do you have them?
No, I don't. I don't feel that strongly about the Jets. I'm just saying, like, when I saw, like, Jacob Martin is, like, their seventh defensive lineman, I'm like, dang, they're pretty deep.
Another former Seahawks legend.
In other news, NFL Network's rap sheet reports Bears linebacker Roquan Smith has requested a trade. We all know, Mark, Smith's ability and the fact that the Bears are rebuilding. You'd want a 25-year-old to be part of the rebuilding process, but there is some bad blood, and it goes back to some negotiations that he feels haven't been done in good faith.
Well, he's his own agent, and I think part of that would be, you know, the Bears, obviously a new regime, they want Ryan Poles says we want to keep him. They did make an offer. I think you're looking at somewhere between Shaq Leonard and Fred Warner on where, like, this contract would go. And I wonder if you're your own agent that, you know, you're hearing stuff that your agent would protect you from. Like, we do value you, but there are aspects of your game and what we're going to do with our defense. And with Fred Warner and Shaq Leonard, those were existing regimes that knew what those players were and knew that what they would do in their scheme. I think with Roquan Smith, it's gotten a little rocky because this is a team in a rebuild that can't really project what Roquan Smith will be exactly in the new defense.
Maybe it's because I had to do 10 shows about where Debo would go, but I just don't want to play this game like believing a trade request, especially when I do think the team is going to try to keep him for a few reasons. Robert Quinn makes sense for this team to trade because I do think they could get something pretty sizable back from him. They're obviously not a contender. He's 32 years old. Roquan Smith, I don't think they would get huge return. Some of that's just positional value to me and destinations. And you've got a defensive head coach who's coming from Indianapolis where the star of his defense was a Will linebacker, Darius Leonard. I have to think he's coming in. He sees Roquan Smith, who is the best player on this defense outside of Quinn, as the centerpiece. It just doesn't seem like Eberflus, obviously he's not making the shot, calling the shots here, but I just don't really think he'd want to move on from this particular player.
I saw some analysis, and I think it was Sam Monson, although sometimes the PFF guys blend together. I apologize for that.
Wow.
I'm just saying, like, well, here's, they all have PFF in the Twitter name, so you're, like, out picking up your daughter at beach camp or whatever, and you just see a tweet. It's just like, it sort of runs. Yeah, it sort of runs into each other. But The idea was, like, it makes sense that they're not going to extend too far to sign Roquan Smith. He's an off-ball linebacker, and, like, by the time they're actually good, like, that's not a position that you pay a lot of money for. And I totally disagree just because I think it's much harder, as the Bears have shown, to find players that are worth spending on than it really is to work around the salary cap. And they have virtually no players to spend big money on. And this is one of them. Like, the point is to keep your good players.
Don't they have like $500 million in cap space next year?
They are set up to make a lot of moves. But I mean, Ryan
like
Poles is saying we want to
like
keep them.
Like a sneaky, cheap, big market team that ultimately they don't spend as much money as they possibly could, especially this year.
We mentioned Shaquille Leonard. I don't know, Greg.
Pardon me, Shaquille.
Yeah, you admit. Yeah. Oh, you said Darius?
I said Darius. All right. That's a fine.
It's like the Washington football team tax.
San Diego.
Initially, you get
Shaquille.
Yeah, Los Angeles Chargers, you get a little leeway.
I think there has to be like an acceptance that it's going to take people time. It's like when you were young in the year, you have to put your date on your schoolwork every day, and the year would flip, and it would take me to like January 25th to figure out what was going on with the year.
I also think Washington football team is fine to just keep. Like, you can just keep saying that. People get it.
Yeah,
you don't need
it works.
You don't need
it
to move on.
It's technically
sense.
True.
So we mentioned Shaquille Leonard. He had the back surgery, and you know the hope was he's going to be ready to go, but he still doesn't have a timetable. And people should know that follow our league. It's August 10th. It's my wife's birthday. Happy birthday, Emily.
Happy birthday, Emily.
Birthday.
I'm going to pick up some Prosecco and some nice cheese.
Emily.
I've been told not to. I've been told not to talk about your wife, so I will.
Well, respectfully, you can.
Justin isn't normally that creepy. That was a callback to a time before when he was creepy.
Notice how I said my wife's name, Emily, and then when you brought up your girlfriend's name, it was Jessica, and it freaked everybody out.
I continue to think this is being over exaggerated.
I don't think so.
It's never happened.
I don't think so.
Anyway, we are getting to the point.
Mina's like, can I call a cab and get out of here?
We're getting to the point on the calendar where these injuries, we're getting closer to week one. So with the fact that Shaquille Leonard doesn't have a timetable, Mina, that's not great for the Colts, who really need him in the middle of their defense.
Yeah, this injury freaks me out a little bit. And, you know, back generally, but then when you hear the back might be connected to the ankle, I hope I'm not misrepresenting. I'm most definitely misrepresenting the actual medical nature of what's going on. But it is one of those injuries when you read every report, it does make you a little nervous just because it doesn't seem as clear cut as maybe some others. And then, of course, yeah, where we are in the season, I would be worried. I like this Colts defense a lot. I think the front could be really exciting. It's Gus Bradley. We know what he wants to do. But if you take out Leonard, even though, you know, they've got a couple of other decent linebackers there, it loses a lot of the sizzle for me.
Right. Plus, like, exciting might not be the word that, like, fans of the last few Gus Bradley teams would use to describe his defenses. They struggled. And so, you know, Matt Eberflus gets a job elsewhere. And the wording around this, it was our Cam Wolf, who I believe has been a guest on the Mean and Kime show featuring Lenny. It was our Cam Wolf, I think, that sort of broke this, that the wording around Darius Leonard is at some point during the season. It doesn't.
Oh, wow.
To me, this is going back to the surgery, reading between the tea leaves, like, he's pretty likely, I think, to start on PUP, and that there's certainly no guarantee that he's even coming off PUP after four games when he's first allowed.
So a Gus Bradley defense, which is the Seahawks defense, works if you have stars, right? And they do have stars on this team. Yeah. You've got Stephon Gilmore now back, you know, Rocky Sin left.
Who they say has been like dominating in practice.
I still think he's a good player.
You think of him as being more of a man corner, but this is obviously going to be primarily cover three, but he has both. I think you do need like a shutdown corner, and then you need that four-man rush. They do have a four-man rush. They've got DeForest Buckner on this side, who's better than any interior defender the Raiders had, and then ideally you'd have, okay, well, who's the Bobby Wagner? That's Leonard. But if you take out any of those stars, the defense doesn't really protect its players, and it suddenly starts to fall apart, which is what we've seen in his recent stops.
I like it when the Seahawks fan and Mina kind of comes out. Like, she's got to stand
up
for
Gus. Listen, this is the only defense. No, I'm not standing up for him. This is the only defense in the NFL left that plays this way, right? None. All of the former Pete Carroll disciples, including Pete Carroll himself, has embraced a Fangio-style defense in Seattle this year. Gus Bradley is the last. So who gets whispers?
Just Vic Fangio and our producer's girlfriend.
Okay.
Where is Vic Fangio right now? He's got to be like...
Vic's cash and checks.
He's got to be grumbling. It just can't be a happy sitting on the sideline.
Good news for both Mark Sessler and Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, whose use of the drink ayahuasca, which is...
hallucinogenic.
Right, yeah. Drink is an interesting...
From the earth.
During an off-season retreat is not... considered a violation of the NFL's drug policy. Rodgers talked about it on the Aubrey Marcus podcast. He went to Peru, maybe with Mark, maybe not.
Why is this good news for me, according to you?
And he won the MVP before that season and then won it again after that. And according to this write-up on ESPN, ayahuasca is defined as and Mark could tell you this, but as a psychoactive beverage native to South America and is often used for religious, ritualistic, or medicinal purposes. So, Mark, this is excellent news for the Packers and the MVP, and of course for you and your continued employment here.
I'll accept it. I mean, it's from the earth. I don't think it should be on a banned list. He's not taking it during game preparation or game weeks. It seems to be when he's off on his own in Peru and stuff,
like in Hollywood at a
right,
hotel.
That's self exploration, or in a hotel.
He said it was the best day of his life. Better than winning the Super Bowl.
If you've ever taken mushrooms, I will just say this.
Right,
this goes back many, many years. You are put into a different reality, and I can totally understand.
Also from the earth.
also from the earth. And I can see why he would call an experience like that the most mind-blowing experience.
Right. He said when he opened his eyes, it felt like opening his eyes. It was a wild interview. And then the host, it was a guy named Brandon Marcus. I had to listen to this because I don't know. It sounded so wild.
Aubrey Marcus?
He said it.
From the Aubrey Marcus podcast?
Okay, I guess that's it. Brandon Marcus.
Guy with a beard, Greg.
Brandon Marcus was a former producer of
He still ours. Works yeah. here. I saw him today at the commissary.
Yeah.
All right.
He said it felt like having 100 hands all touching you at the same time. And I wasn't sure if he meant like literally there were 50 people there because he said it was a big group thing, but it felt like 100 hands on you all at once and it felt like pure love.
Yeah, that I was never that dude like in college and I got scared off when a buddy of mine told me that he went down this road of, you know, natural products from the earth and he said that Jay Leno on TV was the devil talking to him. And I was like, all right, I'm going
right, to
stick to Bud Light.
The host answered his story by saying that when he took ayahuasca, he like imagined every different way to die possible, most of which like included bugs like crawling out of his eyes.
I had a friend trying to convince a group of us in a farmhouse when this occurred that his father invented two objects, one TV guide, which was not true, and two wood. But he made a convincing case for an amount of time.
I feel like we're talking trash. I had a beautiful 2 or 3 weeks kind of taking acid on and off for like 20 years ago. And it was great. It was fun.
Mina, your turn. No. Mina's like, I'm literally the biggest star in NFL media. I got to get out of here. Let's take a quick break, finish the news, and then get to everything else.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
All right. Welcome back. Where is the Mina fame meter at, by the way? I know this might make you uncomfortable, but I'm just curious. You're
low.
Here with us.
Low.
2 years since we last saw you all together here. Like, if you go to Chipotle or something, are people like, hey, Mina, do you get that a lot here in L.A.?
Sports bars. Definitely sports bars.
Well, you're probably on one of the televisions at the sports bar, too, half the time.
I would say airport sports bars, too, is probably that's airport sports bar in the middle of that Venn diagram. And, you know, the airport sports bar just can't.
I love that.
Yeah, can't handle that.
Seems annoying.
Pretty low, though. I don't know. I had trouble getting in here.
That's true. We did not know the security procedures.
Did you hit him with a don't you know who I am?
You're the first outside the building guest we've had.
Greg observed firsthand. Maybe this is a little bit connects to what I said about my name, my meek obedience in any situation where I'm confronted with a barrier. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I probably shouldn't be here, you know.
I'll drive home.
All right. We have a similar sort of fame, but it's just only directly outside of a London football game stadium.
Right. Over NFL. We're basically that's the Beatles right during there. Hard Day's Night in that
very
scenario.
Hot.
Exactly.
Very hot.
Yes. All right. Finally in the news, yes, the Hard Knocks training camp with the Detroit Lions season premiere was Tuesday night. Of course, you know, the listeners, that Colleen Wolf and I launched a new podcast, which you can check out in this very feed. So I don't want to say anything else about it because I've said enough. But I'm curious if you guys watched it and if you had any takeaways. Let's play a little bit from our friend Dan Campbell from the premiere.
The last thing I'm going to say is this. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no light. There's a song Metallica has, No Leaf Clover, and it says, man, when it comes to the soothing light at the end of your tunnel, it's just a freight train coming your way. So if you're seeing a fucking light, it's a freight train. Just put your head down and go to work. It's about to be fun, man. It's about to be fun.
Wait, but it's not gonna be fun. There's a freight train coming. Oh, no!
What does that mean?
I'm a little afraid. I love the when they were showing the crowd there, the Lions, you know, players there, because there were a couple that looked like they were ready to run through a wall. Their eyes were so big. But there was another couple, because you know, this is the, you know, humanity.
Just
the
say, Jared Goff,
that
kind
of looked like, I feel like I would have looked in that scenario, was like, confused. That was like, wait a second, does that mean we're all going to die? Like, what is that? What does this analogy mean?
I hear your point on that.
Like, some were totally locked in, and some were kind of like, what is this guy talking about?
I'm not a scholar in the Metallica realm, but that's a lot of James Hetfield's lyrics. Or it's not the most optimistic way to look at things, and that's real. It's fair. I'm wondering what he was actually trying to say there.
I've been, like, real hot and cold on Hard Knocks, depending on the team, the personality of the team. This is the one, based off the first episode, that appeals to me more than any other of its previous iterations, and it has to do for me with I think the characters in this on this team are fueled by language. Dan Campbell, like, he feels to me like a beat poet on the mind-altering drugs that we discuss, who completely loses his way verbally but then comes back and finds his way, and the crowd responds, and it's like you're rooting for him, and I love the way he speaks. And Jamal Williams, I just feel his heart beating out of his chest the way he speaks to the team. And they just seem unified and fun and real to me. And I know that we were on that Detroit Lions thing a couple summers ago, and that train went right off the tracks. I'm kind of back on. I don't really care what the result is, win-loss-wise. This is kind of why I became a football fan way back when. When you didn't know as much about the personalities back then, but they were dynamic people.
You are a free agent in the NFL fandom.
That's a stretch. I'm just saying I'm enjoying watching them. I'm enjoying the experience.
What's the stretch?
To pick up the Lions is my next.
But you're a free agent. You're still holding on to that.
Are you a restricted free agent? Are you unrestricted?
Are you just not gonna?
Are you on the reserve?
I'm like a Plan B free agent from like 1989.
Who's been trying to court you the hardest?
No one.
Weirdly, this hasn't come up.
It's literally nobody.
He's divorced from the Browns, but sort of no one totally believes it. So we haven't even thought about the idea of you rooting for another team.
Take up the Chargers. They would let you, like, walk
they're high on the list.
Whatever you want there. They'd probably give you a jersey with your name on it.
Also, we live here.
That's a good sell.
You have jersey
young,
with your name on it.
Justin Herbert.
I don't want a jersey with another man's name on it, so I would ask if it could be me.
I understand.
And I'd pick a number.
But like, instantly vote to the top 10 Chargers super fans.
Justin.
Like, it would not take. I'm not trying to diss the Chargers.
No,
we know the score, but like.
They're looking for that type of.
Embrace you.
They're looking for that, right.
Mark, you got to come on the Benched with Bonetta podcast and pick a favorite team with Rachel. I think because she's also going through this right now. So.
The same team?
Not the same team, but you guys can just like discuss these.
I
this
would happily
fandom
have
void.
That discussion.
Let's try that like next week or something. Okay. That'd be fun.
I think this Hard Knocks has the thing you alluded to that makes the good Hard Knocks good, which is the charismatic coaches, not just Campbell, Aaron Glenn,
Deuce.
I mean, this coaching staff is just
Deuce Staley,
just overflowing with charisma. You think back to what I think is the best Hard Knocks, the Jets, Rex Ryan Hard Knocks, where Darrell Revis held out. Rex Ryan carried that Hard Knocks. The Browns one from a few years ago with that one.
Hugh Jackson?
No, the...
Oh, the coach, offensive line coach?
Yeah, who like captured America's sweetheart.
Sort of a pear-shaped
individual.
Tony Wiley, was it?
Yeah.
Yes, who would jiggle his stomach comically.
Also, Greg Williams was there, so it was like you had a super villain on the staff,
too. Yeah, right, saying wild stuff. I think, and then I will just say, I was I got a little chills when Aiden Hutchinson got the whole team singing. I mean, I felt myself being manipulated emotionally. I'm like, oh, don't say this means Aiden Hutchinson is a leader. But then I looked at my arm. The goosebumps were there. Just saying he might have that it factor.
That's what this team does. Yes. By the way, your pod I listened to this morning. Everyone should. No, it was excellent. Well, you and Colleen have great chemistry, but it was a thorough, thorough recap, and I thought you did an A-plus job.
We had a lot of fun. We're using a vector voting system for choosing the MVP based on how MLB chooses their MVP. As you know, Greg, the AP NFL MVP, it's just 50 guys get one vote each.
Right.
And that is lame. But vector voting assigns like a weighted scoring system. So we're doing a first, second, and third place vote for each episode. And then Graver will be tabulating. And then we'll have a Hard Knocks MVP that just locked and loaded. I'm so excited about naming the MVP.
I did notice that during the course of the first episode, Gravedigger received about 25 additional jobs to actually producing the show, including getting you Detroit pizza. But a lot of math, because like you, Colleen and Dan are not into the math side of things.
No. Yeah. He's already got us some merch, so we're already off to a great start. All right. That's enough. And by the way, lots of NFL UK around the NFL fans asking when can they see Hard Knocks. It's on NFL Game Pass on Fridays. So there you go. So if you want to set aside the Hard Knocks podcast until you could watch it, totally makes sense to me. It's an evergreen product. There you go. All right, let's get to it. Let's see. I got on my notes here. I had the plug there, the UK note. Break. I had Mina fame. I checked in on that. And now let's get to over-unders on the 2022 season. Greg, do you want to like set the table on this one? Because I know this is near and dear to your heart. The ayahuasca for Greg's heart is over-unders and gambling in general.
Well, that's not true. We're not allowed to under league policy, but we are going to take a look. I believe our trusty friend Sean Kelly printed out some over-unders from DraftKings, and we're just going to pick in a draft style. And Justin, I don't know if you've do a way to like randomize the draft order for us on air.
Oh, you know Digger's got that under control.
We haven't really spoken about this. But the idea would be that we all draft, not in a snake draft, just like an NFL draft. You know, same order the whole time. And we take the over-unders that we feel the most strong about. So, and we'll keep track of this. So if for some reason you think, let's say, I'm trying to think of one that no one's going to take, but like the Bills over 11.5 is like your number one pick of the year, and that would be your first draft pick, and we'll track this during the season.
So draft order is very important here, I would think.
If we all agree.
Let's
certainly
try to do like at least three each and see where we are time-wise. Mina has 400 shows she has to do after this, so we want to be respectful
of her.
Hold on,
what does the winner win? Materialistically,
You just the respect of your peers and the audience. Why does everything have to have a money
value?
I feel like
hopefully I already have those things, but maybe not.
Sandwich. I mean,
what if Stu Gatz is listening?
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Can I come back if I win?
Yeah,
there he is.
You can come back.
Especially if you were to lose, we would definitely want you to come
Nick
back.
Maybe Nick Fortier, who does keep track of Go Get My Lunch, which is our annual preseason predictions, could add this to gogetmylunch.org.
Smart.
And yes,
a new tab. We're just giving everyone work to do. Not doing a damn thing ourselves.
Right. Yeah, you do get a free
Summer's
lunch
over
here at the NFL huddle.
Ah,
Mina.
Free lunch at the HUD.
As we all do.
I thought I was going to get that anyway.
Yeah, but
we already pitched that.
You can come back
again.
You can come back anytime. You're in the Inglewood area.
I was at a long time ago when I worked at MLB.com. There was a Christmas party with an open bar, and former Yankees catcher Jim Leyritz worked at the time with the company. And I was at the bar, and Jimmy Leyritz was next to me, and there were some like attractive women to his right. And he literally turned to them and said, "Hey, can I buy you a drink?" And the girl was like, "It's an open bar." And then she just walked away. Still hit that hanging slider from Mark Wohlers, though, in 96. All right, let's get into it. Graver, do you want to do the automized draft? I'm sure there's a website or something you're working off here.
Yeah,
something else more crude.
Let's generate a random list here. Here we go.
I suppose we could have just been nice and let our guests pick.
I thought about that.
Well,
but
maybe after
it's
Mina randomize it.
No,
yeah.
No, it's
we're
fine.
In too deep.
I don't need to go first.
We would have missed that sound effect.
We have a list.
Okay.
Greg, Mina, Mark, Dan.
Son of a. And it does. I don't get a snake either.
No.
No.
That's not fair.
You said no stakes.
No, I said that. I don't think it matters unless we all are agreeing.
It doesn't matter. Do you want to trade draft picks?
If it means that much to you as the host,
you can have it.
I'm
the bigger man. No.
There was no way we were getting out of that exercise without controversy.
Okay. If I'm first, then this is one I do think other people would have taken at some point. I'm going Bears under 6.5 as the very first pick off the board. 6.5, that's more than a handful of teams out there. The Seahawks are at 5.5, Jets at 5.5, Falcons at 5, Texans at 4.5. It's one of my truisms that it's really not that hard to win 6 or 7 games in the NFL. You can kind of stumble into it, and the Bears have a pretty...
Hell, the Falcons won 7 last
year. Right, soft schedule out of the division, and that's part of the reason there. Some of their underlying analytics are okay. I don't care. Their starting left tackle is Braxton Jones. We talked a lot about their wide receiver group that a few days ago that they're running out Nasimba Webster, Chris Finke, and Isaiah Coulter. But that's not going to be the group in the season. I believe in Justin Fields. I believe a good outcome for this team would be 5 wins. I just look at Matt Eberflus, as Colleen let us know he's called. And I don't see like a great track record of dominating success. I always look for that in my head coaches. Like, are you bringing something tangible to the table? Like tangible schematic success. And I don't know if I have that in Matt Eberflus. He's been a totally good defensive coordinator, but not one that like stuck out to me as one of the 5 best in the league. And then you look at the roster, and beyond the defensive line with Quinn, who may or may not be on the team, or beyond Quinn on the defensive line, it gets really thin really fast. They're excited about the secondary, but they're excited about second round rookie picks like Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon being a huge part of that secondary. I just look up and down, and there isn't one part of this team that you can feel confident is better than average. And so to me, I think they have a better chance of being in the mix for the number 1 overall pick than they do of going over 6.5.
Mm-hmm. You'll notice on this list, no one is below 4.5, and almost always, you know, there's a 1, 2, 3, 4 lost teams. But so they're here. There's some real teams that are going to drop bombs this season, and I think the Bears are a safe bet. How about you, Mina, number 2 overall pick?
That was so negative that I feel like I have to do an over now.
Well, like it. Okay.
I'm gonna go with the Saints at 8.
Oh, I love it.
I figured Greg or Sessi would.
I find what they did to the Saints insulting.
And you're going Saints over.
Over eight. To be clear, yeah. Yep. Here's the thing: you get to play the Bucks, or pardon me, the Falcons and the Panthers a couple times there. This defense is still, I think, one of the 5 best defenses in the NFL. Is getting a little bit older. You are counting on some younger contributors, but the core is still in place. And then offensively, you know, for my own podcast, we do these division previews, and I took some time to rewatch Jameis Winston starts from last year. I was higher on him after rewatching them. You know, at the time I thought, it's pretty conservative. You look at some of the deep passing metrics, they're not that great. I was looking at the end of the season before I went back and watched. But when I went back and watched, I thought he looked extremely sound fundamentally. I thought the wide receivers were much worse than I remembered. There were some pretty significant drops. And now you're bringing in Michael Thomas returning. I think people have forgotten how good he is. Huge. Chris Olave, who's apparently lighting up training camp. The offensive line is obviously a bit of a concern with perpetual fight starter Trevor Penning on the left side. Don't love that. Otherwise, I think the like skill
days
players
in a row he's been in fist fights
are so good. It seems like Alvin Kamara's suspension might be delayed as well.
Yeah, his court date was moved back a month. So at the very least, he's safe for the beginning of the season.
So that doesn't really affect the over-under or whatever. But I think this offense, you know, obviously the loss of Sean Payton is enormous, and we'll see who Pete Carmichael is, I guess.
But did okay in that Sean Payton season. He was suspended. We should
also did
out.
Not want the
did great actually.
Seemed to shy away from more responsibility this offseason until they kind of made him stay as the play caller.
We're gonna see a lot of him on the sidelines. A lot of shots of him watching Jameis Winston. This offense was disgusting last year without Winston. I don't know. I just think the combination of an elite defense, I do believe they're elite, with an improved offense, that's better than eight.
But Chidbey, I was trying to figure this one out. It's a little confusing, and I think it was the out-of-division schedule for that division is challenging.
Yeah.
That they play the AFC West and they play the NFC West. Because the out-of-division schedules determine a lot of these numbers. But even then, they were on my list of teams I wanted to throw out there as over eight.
I hate having to say this over and over again, but Sean Payton's not there and Jameis Winston's the quarterback. There's reason to doubt is not unfair around this team also.
No, but they won 9 last year and they won 12 the year before. I know that was with Drew Brees, but that was like an older Drew Brees. And most – they have pretty good continuity. I mean, that's the thing. They've kicked the can down the road financially and they have good continuity.
There's something about the Saints, just the way they're built, the way they operate. I mean, you mentioned the rest of the NFC South. They swept the Bucs last year too. Right. They don't seem to have fear what's going on in Tampa Bay. And, Tampa Bay, I'm getting weird vibes from right now. So I just say, I look at 8 wins, and I'm saying, like, that's disrespectful.
So we're all kind of in on that.
Feeling good?
You'd like me to offer
feeling
one.
Validated.
We don't get credit. I thought you were next, though, no?
No, I am. People may not like this, but I am banging the Houston Texans for a 4.5 over.
Okay.
I mean, I
had them on
my list.
And I don't need to dig deep into the roster because it's like, I don't think it's a talented team necessarily, but I think Davis Mills, they stuck with him for a reason. I like that. I think guys like Nico Collins is going to make a big step up at wide receiver. They were absolutely bereft of talent last year. And it's not that they have so much more, but if you look at what they did down the stretch, they were a ghastly show for like the early part of the season. Then down the stretch, they beat the Titans. They came within 3 points of beating them again. They almost swept the Titans. They scored 41 points on them to beat the Chargers and knocked off the Jaguars. I'm just saying they improved. And I think that Lovie Smith is going to bring a steadying influence there. They won 4 games a year ago. This thing is saying they're only going to win 4.5. I'm going over, and I'm very confident about it.
I like that. I feel like they're a team that's kind of sold out to win 7 games, and they totally could by just like adding a bunch of middle tier NFL players that can play football, like a Malik Collins, or they add like Mario Addison and Jerry Hughes. They just like imported the Bills' old pass rush. They're kind of not a young team. I remember that really caught my eye on Football Outsiders. Like, they have who are the oldest teams and youngest. They're one of the older teams in the league. So they actually have some promising rookies. We'll see if that works out. Damian Pierce, we mentioned the other day, sounds good at running back. They might have some fun young players, but they like feel like they are the like, it's not that hard to win 6 games in the NFL team for me this year.
The great hype around Nico Collins. Love this quote from Davis Mills. I don't think there's many people out there who can stop him.
He's apparently had an awesome offseason.
Whoa. Ooh. Hello. Ooh. All right. My turn.
It's a little aggressive.
Maybe. It is, but, you know, if we're drinking the Kool-Aid, there's some more. How about
Texans as your first pick? That's pretty bold.
I wanted them, actually. They have the 29th hardest schedule in football.
Hardest schedule?
Oh, no, 29th. So.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so it's right. Good. 29th.
Oh, yeah.
No. I was suddenly concerned with my pick.
Okay, 29th.
All right.
We're bad at that.
This is something we kind of hit on a little bit a couple days ago. I'm going to hit on it again. I'm banging the over on the Patriots at 8.5.
Wow.
I know there's a lot of doom and gloom around the Patriots these days because they're installing a new offense and this general idea that Matt Patricia is, I'm going to bring it back, a nincompoop. And, you know, he's going to botch this thing and Joe Judge is involved. And I think a lot of people are having fun with all this. And again, missing the central part of all this is that Bill's still here. Bill Belichick is at the center of everything. And Mac Jones. Oh, by the way, this team, they won 9 or 10 games last year, Greg.
They won 10 games.
They won 10 games last year with a rookie quarterback. Mac Jones dedicated his offseason to get into even better shape. And he, I think, is going to make a leap. I know you're going to say Josh McDaniels isn't there. And that's fair. But there's also a scenario where mentally he starts to get even more ramped up and the physical side, he improves and becomes like a legitimate quarterback with Bill Belichick. Stop me if you heard this before. And they, I think, are in the wild card race. I think 9-10 wins makes a lot of sense to me. So I'm banging the over because, come on, how many times have we counted out the Patriots before?
I just have one question.
Yes.
Is Jalen Mills the best outside cornerback on this roster?
Okay.
Not only that, but our old colleague, a man by the name of Evan Lazar, who now writes for Patriots.com. He is very
really good work.
He did like a person by person like recap of training camp. And he said, Jalen Mills is without a doubt the number one cornerback
without
in this league.
And I've seen that in multiple places.
And number two right now is a man named Terrence Mitchell, who the Texans did not bring back.
So, yeah, is it going to be a work in progress? Yes. On offense, absolutely. On defense, perhaps. But many a people have busted out in this realm, this world of Vegas, thinking Bill Belichick can't.
Now I know. I like that you're like you've been pounding this point home about the Patriots.
You're always
for weeks.
High on the Patriots. It's some weird reverse Jets thing.
You're going for it. I like that. I'm trying to think of a quarterback that 2 months ago I felt as promising as I could about Mac Jones compared to the reporting around what's going on with that offense right now. It's like just distressing. So
they
maybe
got a
it
lot
all
of work
goes
to
away.
Do, but it is August. I mean, it's going to take time. But I think by the time you get to October, please don't be surprised when they get to a softer portion of their schedule and all of a sudden they've won 6 of 7.
Oh, I think player for player, you could look at this offensive roster and say this is the most talented offensive roster.
What about your making
that
the
Patriots
league conversation?
Have had in about 5 years, which is like not sneaky, not that high a bar. I know they won a Super Bowl in that mix, but
Reggie,
just
who
hasn't
are some
been...
of the making the leap guys that you were wrestling with because you had to pick one, and they surprisingly have several guys to you that could make
sure.
That leap.
Barmore is exciting. Mac Jones is certainly exciting. Your boy Josh Uche maybe will finally step up. Mina,
I saw a Patriots reporter tweet something about Kendrick Bourne being used like Debo Samuel. It's intriguing.
I mean, they're just trying to install this off. To your point, though, as a longtime fan, obviously, they always do their best in the seasons where there's the most negativity around them going into it. It's almost like clockwork.
Well, they should win the
and
Super
when
Bowl.
They, and when they have a lot
time.
Of hype, they generally don't do it.
So this really, this draft doesn't snake. So I'm going to pick last in the second round as well. Is that for something we're going to track standings?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Let's say that the order came out where
right.
you were
mattered.
Second.
No one was taking the exact same
like,
pick.
Let's say I came in fourth. Right. Would you be like the justice warrior that you are
no,
around
because
the snake trap business?
I'm not a beta. I speak up for myself when I feel like I'm being taken
a lot
advantage
of.
Like
beta talk.
Wait, I'm just asking like, if you would be concerned for other people if it were not just you in this situation.
I'll give you my pick.
You got to look out for the number one.
If you want to switch spots, you can have
it. Don't
good soldier me. I'm the bigger man me. I'm just saying maybe it should snake to the Zeuser, but apparently there's pushback here. Greg, you're up.
I was fine with that.
What you were doing is
gave
absurd
it to
right
you.
Now, by
yeah,
the way.
Listen, I've said my piece.
I'm going to go and I hate actually, no, I want to take this because I do think Mark might I'm going to go Eagles over 9.5 because I don't want to go just like hard negative twice in a row.
You got in his head, Mina. I like that.
Yeah, I was not going there, but okay. Nice job.
I just know we're kind of both on the Eagles. A lot of people are on the Eagles. I think they might have started with a lower number, and it's now been up to 9.5, which concerns me a little bit because you never want to be too far with the public. The Travis Kelce injury this week actually reminded me of why I love the Eagles so much. Obviously, you don't want Travis Kelce to undergo surgery. But you do have a second-round pick everyone loved, and Cam Jurgens like right there to step on. And that, to me, is the story of the Eagles roster. It's like they kind of found a number one receiver finally in Devonta Smith, and oh, let's go add another. We have a promising second-year defensive tackle who most teams would love to like really like pump up in Milton Williams. Oh, let's go get Jordan Davis. We still have Fletcher Cox. We get Reddick in free agency. We still have Josh Sweat under contract. Oh, by the way, like somehow Brandon Graham and Nick Barnett are still there. They just like have so much. Even Hurts, like if Hurts gets injured,
Hurt.
You have Gardner Minshew. It's like just so much depth where they can survive, and they're out of division schedule for this entire division, which is why all the NFC East over-unders are inflated, is just tasty. You play the AFC South. You play, obviously, your in-division games, and you play the NFC North. I love that out-of-division schedule. I am banging that over of 9.5.
All right.
Is Cam Jurgens the center who got walked back by Jordan Davis in that viral?
Who's not going to get walked back?
But on the flip side, Jordan Davis, who's obviously more likely to have to contribute immediately, looks freaking amazing.
And they say Kelce is kind of, it sounds like 50-50 maybe for week one.
I'm sure it's fine. I like the Eagles. I had them on my list.
But that's the thing. Like, you're going to have injuries, and they certainly have, especially for whatever reason over the years. Not as bad last year. But it's like linebacker too, Kaiser White, I remember you shot me down for giving him some pop on your podcast, Mina. And then I was reading the Football Outsiders almanac.
Why do you need to do that, Greg?
Well, because it just reminded me
what
of a score I need to settle.
Kaiser White.
That one of the most underrated signings of the offseason. Yeah. Top six in
Nailed
success
it,
rate well, and yards well, per pass allowed. But it's like him and N'Kobe Dean, a nice little combo.
Let's check back in on that. Let's check back in on that.
Just reminded me. I just like read that. I was like, should I take a picture of this and send it to Mina? No.
Do you now know why you're on the show today? Greg just wanted to get that point out. He was waiting for the perfect time to get his revenge.
It's like uber Machiavellian.
Well, now I want to take the Giants just to reference Daniel Jones making the leap list years ago.
That's seven wins.
No, I'm not doing it. That would be solely if I was just using these picks to settle
scores.
To be fair,
it's more embarrassing. That was just like a totally separate Daniel Jones and Drew Lock column.
That was worse.
We try to help Greg with that one. He just wouldn't listen.
All right.
Gotta take some else.
I'm going to mangle this quote. I'm going one ass cheek and three toes in.
I am taking
the Lions. Over.
There you go.
6.5 over.
Seven or more wins for the Detroit Lions, 3-14 a year ago. They get in the infamous Hard Knocks bump. You watch that show and you're always higher on the team. Is it happening for Mina Kimes?
So I have to apologize because I teased you guys. So the Houston Texans actually have a very hard schedule.
No. Well, they're still winning five games,
though. I'm using the chart football, which actually aligns pretty well with the Football Outsiders projection. They've got the Lions as the fifth easiest schedule. It's always hard, hardest, easy. You know,
yep,
right, the rankings. Yeah. Okay. I think outside of Jared Goff, I love everything about this offensive depth chart. I think they have one of the best offensive lines in football. They're healthy, battled some injuries last year. They've got nice depth there. I think the wide receiver group, whenever Jameson Williams comes back, is such a fun. It's like such a complimentary group. You've got, you know, Chark as the X, the big bodied pass catcher. You've got Williams stretching the field as the Z. You've got Amon Ross St. Brown working underneath, you know. And even without Williams, by the way, I thought Goff flashed some really nice chemistry with Josh Reynolds, who knows from the Rams days. They figured out about partway during the season that Campbell took over play calling, but this season, Thomas, the tight ends coach.
Ben Johnson.
Anyway, so he's going to call the plays, and I think that worked out pretty well for them towards the end of the season. I don't love the defense. I think there's still a lot of holes, particularly in the secondary, but I think this front has the potential, particularly defensive line with the aforementioned Charisma King, Aiden Hutchinson. Now suddenly you've got actual edge rush depth. Charles Harris has another good year. You've got the Okwaras, the kid from Kentucky, Josh Pascal. So I don't know. I like Liam McNeil on the inside. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. I just think they're going to win some games.
Look at the schedule for the Lions down near the end of the season. Let's say they're a little bit under where you want them to be. They have the Jaguars, the Jets, the Panthers, the Bears. They have the Bears twice. Mm. They're better than these teams.
That's probably as easy a stretch as any team has all year. And if you're ever going to construct a team that Jared Goff could succeed on, obviously like a few more established weapons that he's played with, this might be the best offensive line in football. And when I saw that, like, I was reading all the beat writer reports and, like, the defense is destroying the offense everywhere except for Detroit, where, like, Jared Goff is, like, lighting them up and hasn't been touched. And I'm like, okay, that's the offensive line. Maybe it worries you a little bit about their defense, but
what do we know about Jared Goff? If he's comfortable, he's not bad. If he's not comfortable, he is very bad.
That he wasn't even on Hard Knocks. They like literally barely even showed
They don't
his
need him
face.
To be.
No.
They don't need, he's also
so
been
many.
On Hard Knocks like 47
this
times
is
at
this point.
The fourth
time he's on a major NFL Films documentary program, and that's a wild thing considering what he brings to the proceedings. Anyway, DJ Chark, I know we mentioned that as well. They've been flashing throughout training camp the chemistry between Goff and DJ. All right. Who's up? Mark, you're up.
I am first of all, I was so excited about picking the Lions, so I'm not. Mm. I don't love
that
what just
hurts.
Happened there.
I knew somebody would take the Lions.
Taking them first.
It was Mina Kimes.
I think for all the reasons that Mina pointed, it's just a great pick. I'm going Washington Commanders under 8 wins. I find this absurd. I don't think this is a terrible football team, but I think that the Carson Wentz experiment is already off to a weird start. I don't love this.
As we all know, excited to really go ahead and start to take command.
You call it absurd, but you also say they're not that bad. 8 wins, that feels like that's a land that they can live in.
I would say some of the choices are diminishing here in terms of
tell me about it.
You've got like literally almost any option.
I just had like 7 or 8 that I was like rock solid.
You could just disagree. We could have a lock off type of situation.
I didn't even look at it that way. That's interesting.
We could do that.
I don't feel
you
confident.
Stole my pick.
Yeah.
That was what I had slated as my second pick, and then Amina got in my head about being too negative. I think Commanders under 8's beautiful. I'm with you.
Like it just stands out to me as like I could totally see them having a 5-win season that is
couldn't
very
they have the number one overall
induced.
Pick? I mean, sure. Their defense was worse than their offense last year by a decent amount, and I know they had injuries, and they have the personnel up front to certainly bounce back and be average-ish on defense, but there's not much reason to think that either that the offense would be close to average.
And everybody hates Carson Wentz, so I get it. And he certainly is not someone that's exciting to watch. But, you know, he had stretches last year where he was perfectly acceptable, I thought, as a starting quarterback before things collapsed. I just think in that division – and we got to take a break because I think this will tie together. Let's take a break real quick and then finish things up with Mina Kimes.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's my
game,
game.
All right, welcome back. Washington Commanders, we're just talking about it, Mark. I'm going to take the under on the Dallas Cowboys.
I love it. Wow. I love it.
Because I think these teams are all pretty close together, especially I wasn't confident enough to hit the over on the Giants, but I think the Giants will be better this season. I think I could see the Cowboys coming down, the Eagles coming up, and the Washington just kind of hanging around in the middle. And I could see this being one of those divisions where, you know, 10 wins, 9 could even win. And I just think the Cowboys, with their wide receiver concerns, with that offensive line, I want to see if Dak is going to be all the way back to Dak and the guy that he was before the injury. The Mike McCarthy drama, I know they're trying to downplay it, but, you know, what if they get off to a slow start? And I'm looking at their schedule. If they can get to the bye in week 9 in good shape, I'll be in trouble on this because they got Tampa, Cincinnati on the road at home to start the season, at Giants, home Washington, at Rams, at Philly, home Detroit, home Chicago. If they can get out of those 8 games at like 5-3, things soften up, and yeah, they can get to 10 and maybe even 11. But I see them coming out of the gate a little bit slow, and I see this team 8 or 9 wins.
Hmm. Who's winning this division in your mind, the Eagles?
I mean, in the power rankings, I have the Cowboys and Eagles right next to each other. So I had the Cowboys ahead, but at the same time, it would not surprise me if somebody else sneaks up and takes this.
I worry about the teams where defense leads the way, and weirdly, that's the Cowboys this year. But on paper, the defense has a real chance to be a top five defense. You know, number one, they were top five a year ago. Mm. And DeMarcus Lawrence, you get a full season out of him. The secondary doesn't look amazing on paper, but there is crazy continuity and youth on the defense, which is not a bad combination. Yeah. Very few teams have that. I love the Anthony Barr signing, if only because like it indicates that they want to use Micah Parsons more as a pass rusher. I think that's sort of what that's about. Like, it's a really nice defense on paper. Plus, Dak Prescott feels like the right number, and with the easy schedule, I'd probably go over if I had to choose. But I don't feel strong.
I'm with you on the under. I've got wavered between the Eagles and the Cowboys. Who's going to win the division? It's roster versus quarterback, right? But a couple things about the Cowboys that are concerning. Obviously, the wide receiver depth is just a massive issue with this team. It's gotten more and more massive. I don't know if I'm hopping off the Kellen Moore bandwagon, but I feel like he hasn't shown that sort of ability to make adjustment. I look at this roster and I wonder, okay, what is this offense going to look like now as they've lost talent? And then on the other side of the football, the defense was really good last year. But if you kind of dig through the numbers, they are a prime regression candidate, so dependent on turnovers. Gave up big plays, but made big plays. They do have the potential to have one of the best pass rushes in the league, and I'm very excited to see how Micah Parsons is used this year. But behind them, I don't know. I still think they're going to be good. I just don't think they're going to be one of the 5 best defenses in the NFL again.
Can't you see this season going sideways for them too?
Every other season seems to go sideways for the Cowboys. But if you look at their schedule, I think you're going to be right up against it. It'll be close.
I don't think they're going to crater, but I don't think this is a 12-5 team either. I think 9 wins is going to be it. All right. You want to do one more real quick, kind of like a speed round, and then wrap things up?
Okay. I'm glad. I'm annoyed you took the Commanders, but I did have like 4 picks I really liked a lot. And so my last one is Chiefs over 10.5.
Ooh.
I mean, this isn't that complicated. They with Patrick Mahomes, here's their win totals, 12-12, 14-12.
And that's also with Tyreek Hill, by the way.
It absolutely is. And I obviously that's the big negative here. But I think they have some positives that they didn't have in some of those years. Number one is I have a feeling the pass rush might be significantly better than this year. I'm sort of buying the Frank Clark rejuvenation hype after giving them absolutely nothing. Karlaftis and then Dunlop as like your third guy, like that's better. And then it's the best offensive line I think they've had in that time. And I'm just not overthinking it too much. I think that over 10.5 is an easy one.
All right, Mina, give us one.
I had 2 overs, so I'm going to go an under. I feel bad because I feel like people think I have a beef with this team, and I don't. I have a beef with their social account.
Is it the Titans?
It's the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals.
You took mine again.
Okay, so basically they're at 8.5. So it's are they going to have a winning season or a losing season is kind of what's on the line here. I think they're the 3rd best team in the division, pretty clearly. The Hopkins suspension is absolutely brutal for them. Mm. We've seen what Cliff Kingsbury has done without DeAndre Hopkins. It has not been great. And then defensively, oh my God. Have you guys looked at this defensive depth chart lately up front?
Exactly.
It's not great, man. I mean, maybe they're going to figure out. I've been reading the reports about them using Isaiah Simmons more as a safety, you know, and just giving him that assigned role. Maybe that gets him on the field more. Maybe, I mean, Marcus Golden is the best edge rusher they have right now. J.J. Watt, I thought, was actually pretty good when healthy, but God, it is. And look, Vance Joseph has been excellent at putting something together out of.
It's asking a lot of Vance.
It's a lot. Yeah, I just don't think they have the depth on that side of the ball.
I feel like we agree. We all agree too much. If you had it next, it was on my medium list for sure.
Yeah.
Mark, your last one. I hope you pick one of the 2 that I'm wrestling with so it makes it easier for me. Let's see what happens.
I am going Los Angeles Chargers.
Damn it.
10 wins. I'm taking the over. I mean, it starts with Justin Herbert. It starts with everything that's around Justin Herbert. I love the idea that Zion Johnson has been dominant at right guard, their rookie, their first-round pick. I look at the defense and what they've added. It's not just Khalil Mack. It's J.C. Jackson, and you've got Derwin James. And I truly think that Brandon Staley came out of last season extremely agitated with how the defense just sort of crumbled. And I think they've got a plan. I love this coach. I love the quarterback. I think they're going to flat-out win the division.
I mean, 11, the Chargers, who eternally let us down.
I mean, impossible.
Didn't
with
he have, didn't he have a plan last year?
I think
you're higher on Staley.
I think what they found, what they added on defense, allows Brandon Staley to basically fulfill his vision. If it doesn't happen this year, I'd have big questions about him. But I don't understand why anyone's down on Brandon Staley.
People are going to put out projections with like three AFC West teams all winning in a mathematically impossible number of games.
Right. So one or two of these teams is going to have to be a big letdown. But to me, that's the fact that they're only separated by half a game with the Chiefs are only half a game different than the Broncos and the Chargers. Like that seems like value to me. Whereas the Chiefs, I'm taking them more than a half a game better than those.
And to be clear, I'm not down on Staley. I just don't know if I see him as a difference maker yet. I don't know if there's enough evidence for that.
Post that on social, and you're going to get the Chargers jersey with no name.
Well, you know, the machine is starting to work.
There is another option. We could save this. But yeah, let's save. Because your fandom is something very interesting, but also a sensitive subject on this podcast. But it will come up naturally later. We gotta get out of here.
Okay.
But I got something.
All right. Well, I'm excited for the future.
The last one for me, and I was stunned that it was still out there, but I'm not going to do Ravens over. I think they're going to win that division, and I think 9.5 is something you could live with, but I can see them as 10 or 11. But I'm going to go with the Bills. They're number one in my power rankings. 11.5 is a huge number, but I'm just going to buy in and say everything that they've done, everything they've been building to, is a truly huge season coming up, and barring a major injury or injuries or some other issues, I know Brian Daboll's not there, and you can choose to dig in there if you want on the offensive side of the ball. I'm going to go with that. It does come together. They are by far the best team in that division, so they're going to beat up on the AFC East, take care of business elsewhere, and they're going to win. They'll go 12-5, 13-4. Somebody's got to have the monster record. Why not them, Mina Kimes?
I like it as a Patriots hedge.
Ooh, that's nice.
You did go over
a 40 truth. Chess. There.
They only had 10 last year, which you sort of forget.
Not 40 chess.
They only won 10 games last year. They did sit their starters in week 18, so that was part of that 10 win. So
right, they had some bumpy
had hiccups,
yeah,
but on paper, yeah, you're turbulence. Right. I think this is one of those, the offseason's too long that at least I felt like,
exactly.
Of course, I was like, this is the best team in the NFL. You felt that in May, and now it's just like feels too boring to go with.
There's
going to
be
a
juggernaut
sense.
Or two, and I'm picking the Bills confidently as one of those. That's why.
I know what's next on my list was Seahawks over 5.5. Didn't get that in there, but that seemed crazy to me. Maybe I should have gone with that, but that, man, Pete Carroll's not losing. Pete Carroll's not losing 12 games.
I think the CX defense is going to be better than people expect. The
That's
offense.
Yeah, let's ask Mina about that. What is your feeling about the way they're handling the entire quarterback situation, even going back to the decision to move Russ and to where
how much time
now?
We have left here.
Yeah, it's just up to you.
Yeah.
Sensitive subject.
We'll give you the floor, a little monologue here.
The optimistic interpretation that I find myself sometimes leaning towards is that the organization is actually pretty self-aware about where they are. They're going for the halfway rebuild, the old we're going to retool on the fly, take this year off with the quarterback, get a quarterback next year, get some cap space cleared, use our picks to improve at premium positions like offensive line, edge rusher, corner. So I like all of that. They seem at least more self-aware than certainly some other teams, I think, that actually did go all in on getting some mediocre quarterbacks. That said, it's not going to be fun to watch this year. And this is always the question, right? Which is like, do we want our teams to be smart or fun? I think the defense will be interesting. I like the coaching changes that they've made, brought in a lot of really smart guys on that side of the football. Carl Scott, Sean Desai, Clint Hurts elevated as defensive coordinator. So I'm curious to see how that looks. But you know, if they don't get a good quarterback next year, it'll all be for naught.
That's the X factor. Would you have wanted, for the fun angle, I'm not saying this is would have completely solved your problems, would you have wanted Baker Mayfield? I mean, I know there was a candidate.
Well, so that would have been, you know, I think they would have been like the Panthers, frankly. It's like, okay, well, this is a team that's... If the Seahawks had Baker Mayfield, I think we would be talking about them as a fringe wild card candidate, team. And, you know, it goes back to the smart versus fun. Like, do I want to have more fun watching this team this season, or do I want them to do what is probably the right thing to do for the long term? I increasingly, maybe it's just me having fewer years on this earth, I lean more towards let's be fun, and you never know what's going to happen with draft picks and whatnot.
Because doing the smart thing is nice, and it's also a nice way for people to argue for the Seahawks and what they're doing right now. But you just said it. Like, that, there's no guarantee that they get the quarterback, and teams have spent 20 years looking for that person.
And even if you win, like, two or three more games with Baker Mayfield, you can still put something together, go crazy next year. We see teams do that time and time again. Tanking is pretty stupid in the NFL, frankly. I wish they had taken a flyer on one of the rookies just because there was so much value there, like a Malik Willis or Desmond Ridder or whatever, just to have some, you know, a developmental prospect. I think teams should generally do that, and I don't know why they don't do it more often.
Now, maybe it won't be fun for you, but if we're in week 12 or 11 and they're 5-5 and Gino is directing a run heavy, like, ugly sort of, like, 19 to, you know, they're winning games 19-17, and or maybe they're 6-5. Let's give them a winning record. Like, Pete Carroll is going to be having fun. I'm going to be having fun watching this. I think Pete Carroll's, like, dream in the world is to go 9-8 with this team with, like, and I could absolutely see that happening with the defensive talent and the running game that they have, and at least, like, the weapons on the outside. If the, like, rookie tackles work out, I can absolutely see them winning 9 games, and Pete Carroll, like, loving life.
In that division.
And maybe a certain segment of the Seahawks fan base actually sort of loving this sort of weird type
basically
of team.
The pre-Russell Wilson Seahawks.
Well,
I mean, with Pete Carroll, they Beastquake and all that other business.
Having low expectations and having them mildly exceeded is way more fun than having high expectations and being disappointed. Right. So I can live in this space.
Just like ugly games. I wish I had taken
their number
that
is 5.5.
I wish I had taken that.
And you see them as 9.
Yeah,
potentially.
They were next on my list. They were in my
top
5,
but I didn't want to look like a homer.
They were in my top 5.
Same.
Can I throw some rapid fire ones at you, and you all just go around, say over under, no explanation, but just to hit a few more teams.
Depends what rapid fire means.
All right, do 4. We'll each do it. All right, go ahead. Mark, start with you.
Oh, I was going to throw out 49ers 10 wins, over, under.
Over.
Next.
that to me was like, okay, that's the right number.
Yeah.
Colts 10 wins.
Greg.
I mean, that's another one that just felt like the right number. I'd go over if I had to.
Raiders 8.5.
I'll bang the over on that.
Dolphins 9 wins.
That they were on my really long
this
list.
This is for me.
I got under. I don't feel great about it, but
good rapid
That's
fire.
A tough one.
Good job.
That's tough.
How about the Titans, Gravedigger? Where are we at on your Titans? By the way, are all fired up at the old Zeuser over the Power Rankings and Treylon Burks? Like, calm down.
I know.
I'm not making those reports. I'm citing reports.
So what happened was NBC Sports Edge picked up a tweet from actually my buddy. Yeah, Roto World, whatever they are now, picked up a tweet where somebody at Titans camp said that Treylon Burks had caught a few passes with the second and third team quarterbacks and messed up one route assignment. And they reported that Burks is only working with the second and third teams and doesn't know where to line up and all this. It became a huge thing on Titans Twitter.
This is what's exhausting about the Titans fans. And I love you guys, all the listeners, but you can't just chill. I have people coming in my mentions like, all right, Titans Nation, let's get this guy because he's incompetent. It's like, Chill. Don't get so mad.
Is this why you tried to insinuate that I was beefing with the Titans?
I thought that because they're kind of a sensitive fan base. They're one of the sensitive fan bases that maybe they were coming after you.
That's what annoys them when you say that.
Yeah. Well,
when you say they're sensitive.
When you call fan base sensitive, then it proves self, to be true, yeah, but it's just like that. You know, like, it doesn't sound positive.
Mina Kimes. What's the over-under for the Titans?
9 wins.
Where are
you? I would say over just because Mike Vrabel, I mean, I'm biased, obviously. Yeah. Mike Vrabel, though, has never been worse than 9-7, and neither is John Robinson going back to 2016.
I didn't consider them just because we talk about the Titans so much. We've overcorrected so hard.
A lot of Titans talk on this.
More than any team, perhaps.
Unlike the Geno Smith topic, which doesn't come up other than 4 times a show.
Sean Kelly, Eagles, over, under 9.5.
Oh, come on.
I
we go. Yeah, that's going to be an over. Shout out to Greg. Thanks for the over pick. Definitely an over there. I mean, just Amina was talking about earlier, just like packing that lineup and the way that there's
Where's
always
the
like an
cam?
Option. The Kelly cam, oh, it's coming in. Let me bring that
it's
up.
Too late. It's
nah,
too
we're
late.
In it. We're in. Yeah. We're in. No, it's just they have so many players that they've been like the pickups this past season, just
right.
beefing
right,
up everything.
Wrap it up.
It's
okay.
great.
Okay.
Over.
Okay.
Keep it going.
Good, good, good. All right. Amina Kimes. You've said it all.
Wrap it up.
And listen, Amina, we don't have a yacht that we can invite you to. And this is certainly not a negotiation that you're in the building today, but this is for you.
Oh, wow.
He's handing over a...
I took that off someone's desk in the
NFL
room.
Network hat.
But it's never been worn. And if you want to take that as a gift, that's all it is. It's
the
not a...
mesh backing.
You're not tampering.
I'm not tampering.
Are you allowed to wear an NFL Network garb?
Oh, God. I was going to put it on unthinkingly.
Oh, I mean, you're allowed.
Caused a little minor controversy there.
Let's just say that was a personal gift and nothing more. And when is your contract expiring?
All right, Stephen Ross.
Amina, thank you so much for joining us. You know where to find Amina on ESPN, the Amina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, all the other good stuff. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, and we'll be back. What is today? Wednesday?
Yes.
We'll be back tomorrow, Thursday. Yeah. We're mixing up the schedule with another show, so make sure to join us. Check out the Hard Knocks podcast. Until then, you know what you got to do. Be the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.